The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hey, it's Sam Smith, and welcome back. Stick with me on this. I have missed one of these recently, or a couple of days, but you might say I was kind of in a mellow mood. Anyway, I'll get to that bad pun in a little while. But the Bulls started off their heck week, as it were. Not sure about saying that word. It doesn't sound so bad, but always remember not to say it. So it's a heck of a week. It was a heck of a week, starting with Miami Sunday in that national TV game, the earliest game in history, given it was after daylight savings time, or one of the earliest. And that was the kickoff, probably the most competitive, sort of entertaining week of the Bulls season. Turns out, no matter what happens, it'll probably be very entertaining with that win over Miami. But they get the Spurs on Tuesday, who now have the best record in the league. The Rockets on Thursday, the 13th. They have the best record since January 1st. Not exactly sure. I know that's the beginning of the calendar year. But those of us, you know, who do these podcasts and listen to them, our calendar year, our year starts in October, as everybody knows. Then Sacramento, and I'm expecting the DeMarcus Cousins to be angry about something, even though our weather has kind of broken a little bit. I'm sure he'll find something. And then Oklahoma City on Monday the 17th. St. Patrick's Day. So that's quite a run there. You know, basically four of the best teams in the league, if not the best. And then the end of the week, that starts with the Thunder in Bulls in Indiana on Friday, and then coming back on the 24th to play the Pacers at home. So what a great 2 weeks of basketball. And just started off terrific. I'm sure as you've seen by now or heard, watched it if you didn't see it. Terrific game. Joakim Noah, another fabulous effort, closing strong, emotional, as LeBron said after the game. You know, and maybe it is a weakness. You know, they play differently, meaning the Bulls play against us differently. But look, that's always the way it's been. When the Bulls were winning all those championships in the 90s, everybody played them tougher. You always hear that, the cliche with all the teams. You know, the Pacers started talking about it this year, which is sort of laughable, that teams are going to come at us harder and wear teams' top games. No, you haven't. You didn't win anything yet. And so I think they've got caught up a little bit of that, and it's kind of caught up with them this season, even though they're having a terrific season. With a slump of late, particularly defensively. But we'll get to them next week. If I remember to do this again. Terrific game. The game with Miami on Sunday. Great plays down the end. You know, much further forgotten than will be forgotten with Jimmy Butler's strip on LeBron James. You know, you can make a case for one of the top defensive players of the plays of the year. Hello. I think we're talking SP here, whatever that is. Anyway, Heinrich, with that driving left-handed, little scoop layup thing there. We don't see many left-handed shots from, Heinrich. And especially at that time, he misses that shot, which we certainly would all bet he would have. That game's over, and the Heat win that game in regulation. Anyway, makes it, gives, LeBron the ball with 20 seconds to go, basically to be the hero again. And that time, you know, it's sort of interesting because, you know, for years, LeBron was criticized for not, you know, finishing those end-game shots. And so this time he made that play. He drove right with just a couple of seconds left, kind of made this ball fake that got Noah running toward the corner to Bosch, a, you know, really good fake to get Noah out of the lane. and then, you know, about to go up and make a layup to win the game. And as he goes up with the ball, Butler clean strip in there, knocks the ball away. LeBron, by the way, having zero free throws, which Bulls did a great team defensive effort on him. The first time in more than 4 years. So much for the conspiracies of he's getting all the calls. He didn't get any, as it turned out, on Sunday. But the Bulls had a lot to do with that. Now, you know, certainly Butler at the point of the defense, but adjusting, Thibodeau making a nice adjustment on help, getting out and showing on James, but subtly doing it a little later. So then, you know, he was more into his shot or more into his play rather than in position to make a really wide open pass and in good recovery. So, and then in the fourth quarter earlier, and then particularly in the overtime, Noah, certainly his enthusiastic best, you know, ends up with 20 and 12, 7 assists, 5 blocks, incredible all-around game. A couple of driving shots that, even though now he's sort of come accepted, they actually will go in. Pretty amazing. Usually going to his left, going to his right with one. The terrific offensive rebounds. Bulls had an amazing 27-6 edge on second chance points. And key plays in the overtime. Offensive rebounds for second shots, which the ball scored on. Big block on Chalmers in the same sequence, offense, defense. And Gibson also terrific offensive rebounds, keeping the ball alive, second chance points. So a great, really fun game. So the Bulls see the Spurs on Tuesday. They won, you may remember, in San Antonio. The Spurs are not that kind of team, sort of like the Bulls, where the Bulls lost in Miami at the end of February and looked bad doing it and remembering that game, going to come back. Not that the Spurs don't have pride. They're a terrific team and do. But they're not the sort of team that, you know, takes names kind of like that. They just execute, play their way. And really, they've done a terrific job this season surviving in a lot of injuries, not just to their veteran guys. Parker out for a while, Ginobili always out. El Contusion, as Brent Barry brilliantly labeled him. Also, Kawhi Leonard being hurt, missing a large part of the season. And, you know, guys stepping in, Bellinelli particularly, doing a terrific job. And, you know, now back pretty much whole and moving up and amazingly looking like, again, they have a good shot to get to the finals. You know, we keep doubting them. And not so much because of their age, just so because of, you know, overall play, where's good scoring going to come from. But, you know, a team that already this late in the season with just finishing up there, you know, before and after the All-Star break with that long rodeo road trip, which I think was something like 6-3. And back on top of the NBA, just a truly remarkable team with a great system, great organization. Certainly, likely the best in the league. Terrific team to watch. And then Houston, which most of us doubted the notion of they're not quite ready. And, you know, maybe they aren't, and maybe they won't. But Dwight Howard's really come on well. You can see he's healthy now. He wasn't healthy last season. I mean, you know, as much as people don't like him, and, you know, a lot of us, including myself, not a fan of his acts and all his behavior on the court. The guy did play through injury coming off back surgery last season. Complained about a lot of stuff. Didn't complain about that as much. I would complain more about Kobe and like D'Antoni. But really playing well now and back to kind of being that force in the middle where he's going to change shots and change things. You know, they're not a good defensive team, but not because of him so much on the perimeter. It's interesting. Beverly, one of the best on-ball defenders, but splits his time with Lynn, who's not a good defender. And James Harden is just a horrendous defender that doesn't even try most of the time. But obviously, terrific offensive player, makes big shots. Again, more big shots Sunday, an overtime win they had in Portland, which, by the way, after that great, great start and all the talk about championships and this and that, has now slipped to fifth in the West. So basically they're looking at already not even a home court advantage in the first round and more than likely out in the first round. So turns out, as we know, all that season counts. But I don't think Houston, they had an amazing record against Eastern Conference. I don't know if they've lost maybe one game. dominated Eastern teams all season long. The kind of athletic team that really gives the Bulls trouble. Howard is always interesting to see with Noah. That's one player that Noah has really had problems with his entire career. Not that basically everyone hasn't. But now, you know, old buddy Omer Asik is back playing off the bench with Parsons, and they've got a little bit of depth. Really looking like a strong and tough team that is one of those teams that have a chance to make the finals in the West just because there really is no dominant team. And speaking of that, the other team that was supposed to be dominant, you know, the Bulls will see on St. Patrick's Day, the Thunder. I read about that this week in my Monday column. By the way, also on Sunday, I wrote a little bit about LeBron, and I think he has a chance to be in New York. I'll get to that in a moment. But Thunder have dropped back a little bit since Westbrook's return. You don't want to blame him. He's not playing full minutes, but, and I wrote about this in my Monday column, he's just a really tough guy to play with. And the one thing I don't think a lot of people get, and I've always thought that's why Miami lost that final series to Dallas, because Dwayne Wade was still too good. It doesn't really make sense. But really, to have a successful championship team, your best guy has to be your best guy, I feel. You know, like Michael with Scotty. Scotty was clearly a setup guy. But even if you look, you know, Kobe, and as much as Kobe and Shaq suffered some, Kobe did step back and was a setup guy. When he got tired of it, you know, the thing broke apart, and they didn't get back to winning until Powell joined up, who was clearly a subservient sort of player, in a sense, to Kobe. Bird was always the top dog with the Celtics. Magic, you know, deferred to Kareem until it was clear Kareem, you know, had to step back for him. And then Westbrook just can't do that with Durant. That's why Durant had that great, great stretch when Westbrook was out. And I'm faulting Westbrook. You know, this is how he plays. He's not a natural point guard. You know, he's just an explosive player. Some sort of a, you know, just a guard, a combo guard. Really a guy good enough to be your best player. He just happens to be on the team with the second best player in the league. And it's just very tough for him to figure out how to play along with that. Just because his instincts are to be so offensive. And Oklahoma City, I think that they've really struggled with that. They're going to continue to struggle with that. And I don't fault Westbrook. That's just the way he plays. But I just do think we're coming to, if Oklahoma City doesn't get there this season, doesn't get to the finals and will get a championship, I believe with 3 years left on his contract, this will be the time that where they could make something dramatic with Westbrook. And he'd be a player in great demand because as a number one player, you can't build around a guy like that. I just don't think you can when you have a better player than him on the roster. But that's a heck of a problem a lot of teams would like to have, and certainly perhaps presumptuous on my part, which a lot is, so I'm accepting that. That gets me circling around. I mentioned LeBron. I wrote a story on Sunday before the Heat game. Not that it's conventional wisdom or anything, but, and LeBron is a free agent, potentially can opt out this summer. Hardly anyone thinks he will, and that Miami will come up with something, and they may. I mean, indeed, and probably the odds are favoring that, you know, Pat Riley being very innovative as an executive. But how about this possibility of LeBron joining Carmelo Anthony? Now, that gets us to all the spike in rumors in the last week ago that Anthony was, you know, talking with Noah, or Noah approached Anthony and built the case to recruit him to the Bulls. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, guys talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Maybe it was more serious, who knows, but Noah though is not an executive position. You know, I much discussed this in my Ask Sam on Friday, last Friday, that financially, and I think everybody recognizes that, you run the potential risk of what happened with the Knicks when they acquired Anthony, that you just give up so much that you're no longer in position to truly compete. Now, the Knicks were pretty good, and frankly, to me, I'd have questions about Anthony if he bolted from them this summer after just one bad season, after winning 54 games last year, and basically tearing up the team to accommodate him. You know, most seem to think he would resign, and now there's a lot of rumors involving, you know, Phil Jackson coming to New York, and I think that's possible. I didn't think it was possible any time before. This is the first time I do think it is, because I know Phil would like to get back. I know Phil would like to, be involved with the team again, not the coach, as he's said many times, and I believe that. But, you know, position really like Jerry West has with the Warriors, Pat Riley with the Heat, maybe Riley's more intense as a president. You know, West is more of a elevated consultant, but somewhere in that position where Phil is really, I think this is not realized, and Phil is a terrific personnel guy. He has a great feel for building teams. He was influential in all the Bulls' major moves that they made when he was there, Cartwright and Grant and some of the drafts and Rodman. And certainly Krause made those moves, and he gets credit for that. You know, but Phil always understood what it takes to build a winning team. You know, because he wasn't an executive. He wasn't ever mentioned for that. The notion was he got the best player, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. And so, you know, he rode along, or, you know, he zenned him to victory or something. But Phil really has a good feel for what it takes to win. And that's really what being an executive is about. And I think he has a better feel for that than probably 95% of the executives working in the league now. But it's the same thing with any number of people in situations like that. If you haven't done it, it's that catch 22. You haven't done it, well, that means you can't do it. I can see, you know, even though they talk about, well, Knicks ownership is a problem. You know, Phil can deal with people. I mean, that's his strength. And so I think that'd be a terrific position for him. And because I know he's probably not of a kind that he wants to leave LA for a northeastern winter, but I still think that's, you know, an interesting possibility. And if it does, you know, it would certainly give Anthony a good reason to stay. It might provide a reason for LeBron to team up after the next season, after 2014-15. So Melo signs his new deal, opts in, or signs a new deal. LeBron opts in for another year. You know, and then New York has a tremendous amount of cap room. Stoudemire, Chandler, Barnani, all off the books. And they can add LeBron and another player and a draft pick, and they have an exception. And, you know, New York will take on bad salaries from another team for an expiring deal. So they have a potential lot of possibilities. And it's just a speculative kind of thing. It's not really been talked about. But again, you know, we all discussed a lot about Anthony with Chicago. I just don't see the possibilities, just because it would require so many changes in the foundation of the team, and then to accommodate Anthony, who's a terrific player. I'm a fan of Anthony. I think he's a great player to have. You know, he can succeed, I think, in Chicago, because there is a better player in the sense with Derrick Rose. And I'm among those who think he'll be back and playing at a high level. But it just requires so many financial manipulations, so many personnel changes. And then hope Anthony doesn't change his mind if you do all those things. And a guy who, you know, if he would do that to the Knicks, you certainly have to worry about that. So I just think there's too many ifs, even if probably, you know, it is something he's probably discussed with Noah. But understandably so. I mean, that not only is this what these guys talk about, you know, what's going on with your team. I know Michael and Barkley always used to talk about, well, why don't you come to play for us, you know. It's sort of regular stuff when the guys get together at the All-Star game. And also, you know, it's what LeBron went through. It's what Kevin Love, you know, now. And you're in different places with different teams. You know, what's your coach like? What's the team like? You know, we can tell Carmelo what the weather's like. Maybe that wouldn't help. But anyway, it's a great discussion. Maybe a little premature given free agency starts in 4 months. But that said, I think we're going to hear plenty of that again as well. So looking forward to the rest of this week, not necessarily the Kings on Saturday, although you remember a couple of years ago, the Kings overcame a 35-point second-half deficit to win with Derrick Rose on the court. Oh, man, that was a brutal one. We don't think these Kings are capable of that. But anyway, great week ahead. Spurs, Rockets, Kings, Thunder, following the Miami game. And so, looking forward to this, and then, you know, some good games the following week, and then down to 10 games in the last home stretch of the season. Bulls in good position with the Raptors and Wizards and perhaps the Nets hanging in sixth, you know, still jockeying for that 3-6 spot and for the first round home court advantage. So plenty to play for in a season where a couple of months ago it didn't seem like there was all that much to play for. So anyway, stay with me. Again, I will try to remember to do this on a regular basis and actually come close to doing it. So stick with me, Bulls.com, and this thing you can get somewhere. I forgot what they told me to say. So I always say it's Bulls.com. Have a good week, and I'll talk to you soon.